Welcome to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Howlett. Thanks for joining us on our ongoing culinary exploration of the beautiful Comox Valley.
All right, we'd like to welcome our listeners back to another episode of the Edible Valley Podcast. Welcome back, Darren.
Thanks, John. Welcome back, too. I guess we're going to talk a bit about what's been going on in town this week.
Well, for me, it's been downtown with a delicious downtown.
Yeah, that's went fantastic as far as I saw. What was your take?
I think we had a lot of fun. I got a chance to put together a couple of dishes, and they had a group touring around to a bunch of the restaurants in the downtown area, and got a chance to sample some different flavors from the downtown area. So
fantastic! Yeah, I heard about that touring group. I didn't know much of the details, but I suspect that they had some sort of clout or authority, or that they were being whisked around from place to place trying everybody's wares.
Yeah, they got to sample some different wines, some food, coffees, and all that. So it was quite interesting.
Great.
And then a lot of the businesses downtown put together local fresh sheets. So it was sort of farm to fork.
Right.
Deal. So it's a great chance to actually get out there and talk to some of the farmers and get some of their products in the
Yeah, kitchen. I was actually really surprised. I remember looking over your shoulder when you were writing out that menu, but I was really surprised just how much of it you managed to gather from local sources.
Yeah.
Do you want to touch on that a bit? What you had?
I definitely could easily talk. We were able to get some island bison in.
Yeah,
that was fantastic. That was great. We got did some short ribs there. Yeah. Which was beautiful in a sort of an espresso coffee.
Yeah, you really had a lot of people taken with that.
Yeah. Next up, we did Pontissimo pasta and Tannadice Farms.
Did their chorizo.
Yeah, oh. Nice and spicy, and just with a spinach fettuccine. So,
yeah.
You know, of course, we got a little brie going there with from Natural Pastures as a little appetizer and phyllo.
Right.
And so, yeah, it was lots of great little things. And
right, the porter mussels.
That's right. We did the townsite porter, and we got a little. What was the one other thing I want to hit on? And it's blanking on me.
Yeah,
Tree Island yogurt. We definitely got some yogurt dip from them.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was great. You pulled from a lot of local resources. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, exactly. Now we should get to the reason we're here.
Sure.
We're sitting down. We have our guest today.
Yeah, Gaetan Pilardi from Island Gourmet Trails.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And maybe you can explain to people what exactly Island Gourmet Trails is.
Okay. I'm a tour company, but I do culinary tours. So it's visiting the valley with the angle of food and meeting producers and tasting the local food.
Oh.
And just with what you have said about, like, you know, last week, I think the theme of the Winter Festival was around food. We know that is something people like to know more about. And since I have my company the last 3 years, I see an increase of interest for people to learn more where the food come from and me to produce it and all that.
Absolutely.
So that's what I do in my company. I organize day activities where we go to different producers, different farms, different wineries, etc. Yeah.
Perfect.
I was going to say, what brought you to the Comox Valley? Because I know you're not originally from here.
I think like like many people, I'm not from the valley. Many people choose to live here after, you know, been other places. It's you know, this. I was from Quebec, but I've been in BC for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And after been in Vancouver for where I work as a chef for 15 years, and then been in the north of BC in Prince George where I was teaching there. I wanted to come back to the coast, but I didn't want to go back to Vancouver. I was getting too busy and all that. And I always had I had a lot of friends in the Comox Valley, and I think the Comox Valley had a lot to offer that I was looking for. One of the things was the quality of the food was produced here, and
I agree with you completely. I did something similar. I went all over BC, figuring that that's what I was going to do. I was going to set up here or I was going to set up there, and 10 years later, I'm like, why did I leave the valley? And I came back and yeah, there's so much here. It's just, it's fantastic.
Yeah. So, you know, food wise, with the product, with the restaurant we have here, with all the activity around food, and also with other reason, like, you know, all the outdoor activity you can do here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So, I took a little quick look at your website and just seeing some of the things that you've offered there. It seems that you've got a particular group of there's a few that you sort of work more with, or is it just really open that you work with everybody?
Okay. Yeah. So who is the clientele? Who is the, two different, like, there's, of course, it's a product that interests visitors and tourists.
Yeah. And food tourism is really on the rise.
Exactly.
For sure.
So, and, you know, with my website and all that, I had people that, you know, when they come to the valley, they say, okay, what food is there and what, how we can learn more about it. So it is, of course, for tourists.
Right.
But it's not only for tourists. So I had a lot of local people also come on tour, and sometimes it's when they have visitors and
right.
and they want to do something with them and they don't have necessarily time to organize everything and all that, so
right.
I can plan a day for them, for their group and their
right.
family or friends coming, and they can enjoy it with them without doing all the, you know, the prep work for it.
Right.
And then also I had sometimes just local people, they decide, okay, let's go, and they hear about all those places like Beaufort or Shelter Point or but they never been. They don't know when they are open, they don't know exactly where they are, they don't know but and then when they come on a tour, they realize how accessible they are. They develop a relationship, and often after I see, when I go back with other group, I see those people going by themselves.
Right.
Back.
Yeah.
So
that's
kind of okay. I done my job. That's great. So now the link is done. Yeah.
Well, that's just it. I mean, I've lived, like I said, on and off in the valley a couple of times in my life, and I've thought I knew all of the places to go. I thought I knew where everything was, and it wasn't until we started doing this podcast that I realized there's absolutely, it's just endless, the amount of high quality food producers and growers that are out there.
We have you know, statistically they say we have 400 farms in the valley. I guess it's with aquaculture also.
Right. Yeah.
Of course it's not all of them, or, you know, there's different scale, there's bigger,
right.
smaller, and it's not everybody who is willing to have people coming to
right.
them.
Absolutely.
But a lot of them now see the benefit and are happy to share their passion with visitors and all that, and they add that to their business, not just producing a good product, but also educating the public.
Right.
And, so I seen only in the last 5 years a big changes in you know, how many more places are able to host
right.
well visitors. If you think place like the distillery, for example,
right.
or a place like that, it's like kind of first class.
Right.
You
yeah.
know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and some of them start to offer more too than just a tour or a sampling, much like your other side of what you do.
Yeah, like the cooking classes, for example. Yeah, and that's I do regularly monthly cooking classes at Blue Moon Winery, and it's people I met doing tour, like where I was one of. They were just opening at the time, and then I saw all the other possibility they had there. They had a really nice kitchen and dining room, so I thought, okay, that is another thing I can do, and it will be nice people to work with to do that there. So yes, a lot of places host event now or do added value product to
right.
it. They don't just produce, I think, for example, Blue Moon is a good example. They don't just produce the blueberries and sell it, but they do jam with it, they do wine
right.
and all that. So I think more and more producers see that the way to to succeed in the long run is not just to depend on the market and the demand, but to add an added value product.
Have that one product that they're counting on to make the money
and then
on.
That year, I don't know,
the conditions aren't there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so like this, they are more sustainable.
That's good. Yeah, cool. Yeah. And so you said that... Well, obviously, you're French-speaking. And you do, I noticed too, again, on your courses, you offer both in French and English.
Yeah.
And I guess the only other question is the food, when you do your cooking classes, is it all French-based cuisine, or is it more local, whatever's there at the time? At the
It is, I use as much as I can, all local product, and I try a lot in my courses to... if I use pork for tenderize, or we did a class on Turkish food, and of course yogurt is very important, so I use there. So I always try to promote and educate people about, you know, how where you can find those products and all that. I did a series of courses last year on French cuisine with provinces of France, different area, Provence and Alsace. And this year we expanded to more around the world, like not just that. So, of course, my training is, traditional European French cooking, but, you know, it's like I'm always, when I did the research, for example, on the Turkish food, I learned a lot of things maybe things I was not as much used to work with and all that.
That's one of my favorite things to do, is actually take another culture's food and just study it and teach it back to people. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Exactly. So it's, it started with a friend of mine was a French teacher, was looking for activity for a student to do outside of a formal class of French. So we start doing it in French, and it was also a French class at the same time. And then we realized that there was a demand of some people say, I'd like to go, but I'm not comfortable to, my French is not good enough to, even if it was a lesson.
Right.
So that's how we decided, we'll do it also in English.
Perfect.
Yeah. Wow. So often the idea is we do the morning in French and then the same menu in English.
Nice. Yeah. That's great.
So I did have a question.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if you could just walk us through what a tour is like.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
yeah.
How does it all start off, and where does it go?
Yeah. Usually, like, if it is a group who is, staying, for example, at the hotel and all that, but first of all, the person who wants to organize it, when it's a group, when they tell me what day of the week or they want to do it and how many people and all that, I send them, and when I know a little bit more about their group, I send them a potential itinerary.
Right.
So like this, because I go to about 35 different places, not all in one day, but that I can choose from.
Yes.
Right.
And depending of the time of the year, the day of the week, the interest of the people, I try to build a program for the day.
Right.
And then sometimes people, the organizer will say, if it's, for example, when it's local people, they will say, we've been to that winery many times, can we go someplace else? Then we start with that. And
how many people do you have in your groups?
Just it goes from 4 to the most I did is about 25.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So of course it depends also where I can take people.
Yeah.
Right.
Of course when you have 25 people, it's not every place who can handle that. So when I have the itinerary, I try to build it that it's not just, some people ask sometimes a wine tour. The phone, I say, do you do wine tour? And I said, yes, I do, but we have more than wine.
Yeah.
So and then at the end, people like that. They like, when you see 6 winery in a day, it doesn't give credit to all of them, because at the end so they like to have maybe one winery, one distillery, and then cheese, and then chocolate, and then bread, and all that. So
sounds fantastic.
And or I pick up people where they are, or Otherwise, in the summer, I often do open group where it can be just like two people who join in a group. And those tours start from usually the Westerly Hotel.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's central for people out of town. It's easy to find.
Right.
And
No matter where you're going, you end up passing that one.
Exactly. And the hotel been very open that people can leave their car there during the day. So then we start going to different places. And what I do myself, like when I'm in the car or the bus, when it's a larger group, is kind of a host it and explain why we're going to the next place, why it's special about that place, a little bit of the history. I'm setting the table for them that
right.
when they arrive, they know what, you know, why they're excited already
right.
about that. And then when we arrive to the place, it's up to the people there, and usually they know we're coming. So that's what makes the difference also with just, you know, dropping by and not knowing. They know that, oh, this group of Island Crumetwell is coming.
Right.
So they are welcome.
They're ready for you, and they're going to put on a show.
And so then the host there, sometimes it's employees when it's larger place, sometimes it's the owner, will explain what they're doing and all that, make them behind the scene,
right.
Taste the product and share their why they like their product and
right.
how they like to. And usually if it's all the tour, because I have three type of tours, I have appetizer tour, mm-hmm. which is about 4 hours with usually a breakfast included in it,
right.
Or a little snack. And there's always tasting at each place. Or an entree tour where in the middle of the day we stop at a place for a lunch.
Right.
And then if it's the summer, I will bring a picnic with all the local product.
Oh, nice.
And it, like this, it helps to promote places where we didn't go necessarily that day because we
right.
cannot go. So there's, you know, can be the apple juice from Watron Farm, for example,
right.
or, you know, and they say, oh, this juice is good. But then, okay, that's another way to
right.
Promote other producers and tell them about when they are open, where they are, and all that. So we have a lunch a little bit longer at one of the place, and then we continue in the afternoon. So usually an entree tour is about 6 different places.
Wow.
Five to seven. It depends.
Yeah.
If the farmers market is open on Saturdays or in the summer on Wednesdays, mm-hmm. I like to do a stop there because
right.
it's a good stepping stone.
I've run into you many a
yeah,
time.
Yeah, and that's where I always meet John on a Saturday morning with groups and all that. So it's a good introduction to
yeah.
the area, for especially in summer, it's more visitors and all that.
Right.
And
I think it's even great for the chefs because I know you're always running into all different chefs.
Yeah. So it gives a kind of a personal experience to the market.
Mm-hmm.
And usually what I do is I just walk the people quickly, give them a little bit of a idea, introduce some of the producer and give them some time to explore by themselves, and introduce to some of the people, like, you know, we meet
right.
Jonathan, so he's the chef of Atlas, and oh yeah, I heard about that place, and and then, so, you know, it's a good way to develop, you know, that night they might
yeah.
decide to go there because
right.
And then usually the Vicky from Farmers Market or her team always do a little explanation about why we have the best farmers market. And then in the afternoon after that, we continue to other places. And sometime I do what I call a three-course tour,
mm-hmm.
that is with dinner included.
Wow.
Then it is in a restaurant. I don't do the dinner.
No.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it'd be hard to do that after a day of touring.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I mean, John, was there anything else that you needed?
Oh, no, that was great. I mean, that's a great tour.
Yeah, so. thanks for doing all your promotion on the Valley. Like,
yeah.
That's fantastic that there's people out there like you.
Yeah, but I think what I find I tell people is, you know, a lot of all those producers are passionate about what they're doing. It's called the Valley of Passion. So,
yeah.
you know, people have done other things before. They come here, they want to do the best wine or they want to do the best whatever. And so it's kind of nice to share that with our visitor. And local people, when they come on tour, they at the end, they are very proud of. They tell their friends that, yeah, we live here. We have all those things here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just like we are.
Just the last thing I want to say is it's mostly in the summer. However, it's possible to do it all year round.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's producers, and I know where I can take people off season.
Right.
So it's you know, it's a little bit modified in the winter. I won't do a
less
picnic.
Farm tours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It will be more like a place like Hot Chocolate, right. Ruston Roasting Coffee, Little Qualicum Cheeseworks, Alan Scallops. They are open all around, so I can go also. And now also. People are, I have quite a lot of requests in the last couple of weeks about gift certificates. So it can be something that people, you know, they have that, they gave that to the, and then when the summer arrives, people can contact me.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, and they can contact you through your website.
islandgourmettrails.ca. When you Google that, it comes up quite quickly.
Great. Okay, well, thank you, Gaetan.
Yeah, okay.
And it was great having you here.
Good.
Yes, all right, thank you very much. Good.